Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, everyone. This is the draft week. This is the week that I've been waiting for. Well, since last year, actually. Matter of fact, to be honest, ready for since the final of Super Bowl 52 between the Patriots and the Eagles. So finally get into a position where we can start finding more talent for the upcoming season. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you'll hear about tomorrow's NFL stars today. And I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder, CEO of LockerReport.com. Thank you for tuning in. I'm quite sure everyone has been looking at drafts since Thursday night. The first 2 days are the 2 days of the draft where your big name guys will get their name called. The first three rounds are pretty much guys that's going to really be given the opportunity to have a sustained NFL career, at least for the first 2 to 3 years, where they will have a window to develop into their craft to help their team win early. Then you get into my favorite part of the draft, which is the third day. The third day was, and then wrap up with the fourth day. And what I mean by the third day is when you have from rounds 4 through 7, where you have a lot of the unknown guys. You will have a couple of big name guys that had slipped to the fourth or the fifth round because of other reasons. But primarily, this is the day where the process, the draft process really begins. This is the part of the draft where to find out, have the NFL scouts did their job? Did the NFL scouts really find those pieces, those nuggets? Did they go out to find the capable players that can really build the depth, help build the roster? This is the grit. This is the mortar. This is the foundation. And then when you slide from out of the draft rounds, that's when the undrafted free agents part come into play. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but more than 56% of the NFL is made up of undrafted players. Yes, there are more undrafted players that is playing in the NFL than guys that were drafted. You have a lot of guys towards the later round, which I would label the 6th and the 7th round. Now, the 6th and 7th round guys, in my opinion, they are guys that just got an early invite to the rookie minicamps. These are guys that just got an early invite to come into an organization to work out. Nothing is set in stone with the 6th and 7th round like the previous 5 rounds. Because then you have the undrafted guys who come in, and most of the time these guys are more hungry, and a lot of times these guys actually come in, and sometimes it may eventually take the job of someone who was drafted much higher. And we've seen this countless times. But I'm not going to focus too much on the first 2 days. Pretty much on this show, I'm just going to focus on the guys and players' names to look out for from the small schools that I'm expecting to either be drafted today or before this weekend is out. Some of these players' names to get familiar with that will sign as undrafted free agents. So I'm taking a different angle with today's show. Last week, I talked about the defense. This week, I'm going to talk about the offense. But I'm going to talk about the offensive portion after the break. But the first part of the show, I'm going to, do something a little different. Like I said in the very beginning, that with Locker Talk. I talk about the NFL within the NFL. Things you're not going to hear too much about in mainstream NFL news that should be talked about. So I'm a, you know, that's my angle. But I will talk about a particular draft pick this week, which was actually shocked a lot of people. And for me, I would say that the draft pick the Ravens made with Lamar Jackson was very interesting. I like Lamar Jackson, and I want him to succeed. My biggest fear is him being able to succeed with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if you have any questions, you can always email me directly at BarryBarnes@locker-report.com or my Twitter handle at locker_report or on Facebook, lockerreport.com. But I was going to focus on that for pretty much for the first part of the show, just a little bit, and to talk about the situation with Lamar Moore. And as you all know, that he was a Heisman Trophy winner 2 years ago, the ACC Player of the Year for the last 2 years, very extremely talented young man who I believe that can translate his skill set to become an NFL quarterback. Unfortunately, there are many critics out there that still have that same stigma about the black quarterback because he's athletic and he runs around and he's a superb talent as far as with his God-given ability. But when it comes down to a player like that, that's their skill set, oftentimes you still always hear about the critics thinking that because he's so talented, he's so gifted, he'll probably be better at another position than being a quarterback position where it takes a lot of knowledge, which takes a lot of decision-making, a lot of work, and the dedication to the craft, of being a quarterback. There's still, you know, some, I would say, I don't want to come out and be so strong and say ignorant. I just said it, actually, that believe that African-American quarterbacks is not at their level when we have so many different examples of how the black quarterback has evolved and how the black quarterbacks has changed, how they've changed the minds of many football people for over years prior to the Warren Moons of the world, believing that African-American men could not lead in a decision-making position. And it's shown time and time again that with Cam Newton's, with, you know, the Russell Wilson's who leading the way, you know, even, you know, going Deshaun Watson, what we're seeing right now in the NFL, you know, you take it back to, you know, the Randall Cunningham's, you know, those guys like that, the Doug Williams, how they've shown that, yeah, they're very capable. So Lamar Jackson is pretty much labeled in that situation. And last week when I talked about, I did a breakdown of how teams should draft. And all the teams should draft according to their division. Because according to the division, you have to win your division. And in order to be suited to win your division, you pretty much have to draft accordingly so you'll be able to compete. Now, I'm going to talk about the positives of the pick for the Ravens, and I'm going to talk about the negatives. And the negative, I would say concerns, because there's nothing negative about the pick for the Ravens picking up Lamar Jackson. The positives, I would say, for him, for the Ravens picking him up, is that I am from Baltimore City. Baltimore City for the past, you know, couple of years has been plagued with a lot of crime, especially murder. And, you know, it has a lot. It affects the African-American public, I mean, the community in the city. And it's unfortunate. It's, you know, not as bad as Chicago, but it's right up there. It's really bad. And for the Ravens to select a black face to be able to say to the community that we will move forward with this young man eventually as our franchise quarterback. And that resonates heavy in the city in a positive way, because the young black men then need to see some kind of positivity because they're surrounded with a lot of negativity. The Baltimore City, the powers that be, the mayor and the city council, for some reason believe that the best thing to do for the city is to shut down schools, is to shut down recreational centers, where take away the opportunity for young men to be able to go somewhere in the evening, you know, and find that counsel, find that help to do certain things to help keep them off the street. But because the recreational centers are not there anymore, young men corners to outside, and that life they're exposed to, which leads to a role of darkness that can lead into that. And I can speak heavily on that because I was, you know, a young man that actually stayed away from it despite having my father leaving me at the age of 4 and my mother leaving me at the age of 11. And I had some decisions I had to make. Did I want to sell drugs or did I want to try to find a job to sustain? And there was a lot of things I had to do at a young age to raise myself. And glory to God, through him only, I was able to make it out of East Baltimore to become a family man and to be able to have you guys listen under the sound of my voice this morning. Well, that's the positive when you look at with that. So they drafted a black quarterback, and they basically said that he's going to be our future after Flacco, whether they decide how he's going to play out after this first, you know, out this first season. Now, Lamar Jackson is a very hard worker, very talented, remind you a lot of Michael Vick. So when you look at the positives with his hard working ability and how he will go out to lead in this position, a lot of positives. But here are the concerns. Like I said, the division, you always want to look at the division. And a mobile quarterback in the AFC North division has not fared well in this division. The prototype quarterback is a pocket quarterback, someone who's big and strong that can deliver, because when the inclement weather comes late in the year, you have to find that quarterback that's going to deliver that ball. And in the AFC North Division, they get at the quarterback. And no matter how fast you are, they will get to you. Several years, Michael Vick's career, I believe his second or third year, playing the Ravens in a preseason game. Ladarius Thomas breaks his leg. Michael Vick, in his season, in the preseason game, because this division is predicated to get to the quarterback. The defensive players are so fast, and that speed level in the NFL is so much different because they're so fast on the edge, and that's how that division is built. Mobile quarterbacks don't do well in this division. Now, Cordell Stewart, when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was successful, but he didn't take them to where they necessarily needed him to go, because when it gets late in the year, when it gets to that postseason, you got to deliver that ball, and Cordell Stewart did not deliver in that fashion. So that's one concern that I have about Lamar Jackson. Will he be able to win in this division? Now, under Flacco, that when the Saints traded up to the 16th pick, I thought for sure that Lamar Jackson was going to go there because he would have been in a better situation because he would have been there with an elite quarterback. Drew Brees would work with him and show him how to throw that ball. Joe Flacco is an average quarterback. He plays totally different in the postseason, but in the regular season, he got to get to the postseason. And when it comes to to Joe Flacco during the regular season, he's very average. And there's a lot of things that he don't do well, and he's expected to mentor a young quarterback that still struggles in throwing the ball. And or better yet, reading through his checkdowns after the first checkdown, the second and third, he normally was looking at the first checkdown that he would take off. So he's going to work with a quarterback that struggles in a lot of areas as an average quarterback. Then you have to look at what the Ravens coaching staff. Now, Marty Mortenweg and now their new quarterback's coach, James Urban, many years, for the past 7 years with the Bengals, let's see how he will be able to help develop him in that system, getting him ready. And with the collective criticisms that Lamar Jackson had faced prior to him getting drafted, with him not being able to succeed as a quarterback, if the Ravens are not willing to change things with their plays and with their coaching staff and giving him the support that he needs to be successful in the league and playing in the division that should go against that mold of a quarterback, if they fail him, then those critics that have criticized Lamar Jackson for not being a quarterback is going to be right. And that's the part I have the most concern for, because he will succeed in this league. I'm pulling for him, and I don't want the ignorant folks that believe that this young black quarterback can't play in this league. I don't want them to look like they were geniuses. You're listening to Locker Talk right now with host Barry Barnes, and I'll come right back after this final message.
Hey there, this is L.A. Bachelor, host of the Bachelor Pad show from the Bachelor Pad Network, inviting you to tune in on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Donaldson File with your host Tom Donaldson and Coco Cosney. They bring politics and other perspectives from the left and from the right. The Donaldson Files every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
Welcome back to Locker Talk. I'm your host, Barry Barnes. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you'll hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Yes, thank you for tuning in. This is Barry Barnes, founder of Locker-Report.com. You can always go to that site, and you'll see all kind of exclusive information on the NFL that I promise you that you will not find nowhere else on this planet, which I'm proud to say that Locker-Report.com have a purpose and a lot of meaning, and talking about the unknown gems with the NFL, starting from the draft process, well, actually before on the combine process, then the draft process throughout the off season to the playing season. This is where you'll find out about players before they become household names, which I'm proud of. And this is the segment right here where I will talk about the offensive players to look out for today on the third day and after the draft, which I like to call the fourth day, when the undrafted players get signed. I'm so excited. This is what we're all about. This is what I'm all about promoting right here, getting those, helping these guys get noticed, tagging the guys who I believe is going to be good NFL players, especially they given a chance. Last week I focused on the defense. Now I get to focus on the offense. So I'm going to start with Austin Crowe, wide receiver from North Carolina. I had the distinct pleasure to talk to his father a week ago, and it's an honor to talk to a legend, Ricky Crowe, 17 years in the NFL, two-time Super Bowl winning, you know, wide receiver. It was an honor to be able to talk to him. His son, Austin, who fell off the radar at North Carolina, really wasn't getting fed the ball as much, and his numbers shows that. And from watching him at the NFL Regional Combine Invitational in person to see how he was able to, you know, to execute as a wide receiver, I label him as a guy who can play in pretty much anyone's system within 2 years, depending on where he may land. Now, that is important. Although I know his ability to be great is there, but within 2 years, depending on where he lands, I can see him as a Pro Bowl. That's how much I respect and believe in his talent. He have great hands. He have great speed, great instincts. He's fundamentally sound in his route running, and he's very smart and very crafty. I really like what he's what he can bring to the table. I actually label him to be to fit any squad in the NFC East, any squad in the NFC South, any squad in the NFC West, any squad in the NFC North, and also separate teams with the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Chargers. I really see that he can develop in any one of those situations where his skill set will fit those the division and also those teams. Now, I've written a piece following the workouts, how majority of the offensive players did not run their 40s. They did not do a lot of their drills because they was worried about their upcoming pro day or their previous pro day numbers. And I vent how I felt, my frustration with that, and how a lot of scouts and pro personnel players reacted to that situation. And I really believe that a lot of the offensive players hindered their chances today, whether if they was projected to be drafted a little higher or not get drafted at all and probably wind up becoming undrafted talent, which they all still are all draftable players. I mean, which they put like this, they all are NFL caliber players. But I think a lot of them did an injustice to themselves. Fortunately, Austin was not one of those offensive skill players. Now I'm going to go to Stephen Dunbar Jr. from Houston. I project him to have his name called somewhere in the fifth or seventh round. Dunbar is a very physical wide receiver who had to buy a defender, but if you was to ask him, he would prefer to run somebody over. He's that type of physical player. He kind of, from the back, runs like he's Terrell Owens from the back. Now, he has strong hands. He's a very disciplined route runner, someone for his size with that breakaway speed, and he truly is a playmaker to the ball, a true playmaker. I see him with any team in the AFC or NFC South squad or any AFC or NFC West squad. And as far as individual teams, the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Green Bay Packers, he'll be a steal for either one of those teams. Now, one of my favorite guys from the Division II level, Mr. Vincent Smith, Limestone College. I project him as a fifth or seventh rounder. Now, he was labeled as the fastest man in South Carolina last year. Now, he is a superb route runner with great hands. He cuts on the dime. He concentrates on the ball's flight. His eyes never comes off the ball. He's very strong. About 6'1", 201 pounds. He will be an excellent target for anyone to bring in. Very disciplined. Made all hand catches. The ball never. He will fit with any team from the AFC and NFC North. He'll fit with any team from the AFC and NFC East. He'll also fit with any team in the AFC and NFC West. When you look over at Purdue, they have an Anton Maligo, who I project him being the fifth or seventh round. The Steelers, you know, would like to have a big wide receiver again, but I would say for instance, he would be a good sure-handed type of receiver that can adjust the ball well. So he adjusts the ball very well. You know, if the ball is right there for him to make a play, he will snatch it out the air. He definitely can break a game open with his high stride running style, the type of running style that he has, and he can break away with that type of speed. Pretty much an upright type wide receiver. I can see him with any NFC and AFC squad. I can see him with any squad within the AFC West and individual teams, the Cardinals, the Broncos, Saints, and the New York Jets. Now, when it comes down to quarterbacks, I would say right now, when you look at Alex Marquardt from International. He's 6'3", 219 pounds, a solid signal caller. He can throw very well from the pocket. You know, he was one of the best athletic quarterbacks in the entire 2018 class. You know, he have a decent touch over the middle. He don't force passes, but yet he's not gun shy. You know, he definitely possesses good feet and solid vision. Now, Peter Prodros from Holy Cross, I believe, was the best quarterback there at the NFL Regional Invitational. I see him somewhere in the sixth or seventh round pickup. He'd pretty much fit pretty much anywhere with his skill set. You know, he has a legitimate speed. He have a legitimate strong arm. You know, he have a good touch. He have a fantastic zip on the ball. He can make every throw. He has tremendous accuracy. He moves very well in and outside the pocket. Can throw on the rope, even when he's rolling out. He's very consistent. And at the same time, while he's moving around, he still have a good vision. Always keep his eyes open down the field to make a play. He's that type of quarterback. And I can see him landing with the New York Jets. I can see him being a Patriot. And I can see him with the Cleveland Browns or the Denver Broncos. He's definitely going to be a good challenge for any one of those teams, except for New England, because we know where Tom Brady stands with that. Now, as far as offensive linemen, Mason Gentry from SMU, you know, he pretty much is flawless in all his movement. very quick step, very quick first step, very powerful. And also, he was the only player at the workouts in Tampa that worked out on both sides of the ball. So you may have heard me mention him last week on the defense side of the ball. He also could play on the offense side of the ball. So if a team bring him in, they had the choice of luxury to bring him either on the defense or the offensive line. So he definitely maximized his ability. I think he will definitely hear his name called out today. He'll fit with any team in the NFC East. He also will make, he'll be a good prospect for the Patriots, Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans, and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Tony Adams, he was a four-year starter at North Carolina State. He's one of those players that he played every position on the offensive line. He's very powerful, has decent speed, has good hands, very balanced, and always in control. I can see him with any team in the AFC North, any team in the AFC East, or NFC East. The Chiefs, the Bears, and the Saints are the teams that come into mind. Now, the next couple of guys who I will mention, and again, you listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network with your host, with Barry Barnes. Now, the players I'm about to mention now, these are guys who I definitely see them as team-worthy. Most likely, they probably will go undrafted, not to say that they are not draftable players, but I do see them as players that will eventually sign with a team, whether late this evening or sometime tomorrow. Now, Shea Fields from Colorado, he's an underrated wide receiver that is very disciplined, very fast. He's very elusive, great hands, very strong. Himself is a disciplined route runner, extremely athletic, and his jumping ability, his leaping ability is off the charts. Then he'll get fit with any team in the AFC and NFC West. He'll fit with any team in the NFC North and a couple of teams with the Colts, the Giants, and the Redskins. He'll find a happy home in one of those situations. Now, quarterback Max Brown, came in Pittsburgh, who transferred from USC. He has a strong arm, have a great spin on the ball, especially in any altitude, which matters. He's about 6'4", 221 pounds. He stands tall in the pocket, have a solid release, and have a great touch on the ball. I can see him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Denver Broncos, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Giants. I think he'll be a good guy, solid guy to get there. And then you have Kenny Hill from TCU. He's a very mobile quarterback, very athletic, has a strong arm, who can make any play with his arm and with his legs, and also can throw the ball in tight areas. A solid field general with a good touch of the ball. I can see him anywhere in New York. I can see him playing with the Jets, the Colts, and also he'll be a good prospect to come under Russell Wilson because they pretty much have the same type of skill set. Then you have Luke McNitt, who came from Nebraska, Hinkley, who is a fullback who's very strong, very powerful, very aggressive, highly intelligent. He has good hands, decent speed. He's a solid blocker, but what made him stand out at his school is that he's a solid special team ace. And he'll excel for any team on special teams that will eventually work his way into the lineup. And a lot of times when I talk to these young talented players, I always tell them to stress special teams, and he's one of those guys there. And then you have John Dearcy II, who went to TCU, and he was a teammate of Kenny Hill. He's very agile, very quick, stand about 5'11", 214 pounds. Very solid and compact type of wide receiver with a long arms, very strong, very fast, good balance and control. I can see him with any team, the AFC and NFC South. I see him with the Cardinals, the Lions, and the Jets, where he'll be a good fit. And last but not least, Joel Davis from Brigham Cook, one of the other players that from the HBCU chapter that came and worked out in Tampa. I can see him being in the league. He's very quick, very explosive in the return game. He's very physical, can bounce off collisions to make a good play. You know, he has great instincts, great hands, and good feet. I can see him with any team, with any team in the AFC any team in the AFC and NFC South, and I can see him with a New England Patriot. He's that type of type of Robert Sealer that the Patriots would look at. Now, these are the players that I mentioned. These are the names that I called out that I hope you guys look out for, listen out for, who I think that will be great assets in the NFL with years to come. All of them deserve an opportunity, and I hope all these guys get that. I hope after listening to the show that y'all guys will know certain players to look out for, and I hope y'all enjoy today's breakdown of players. Next week, I will talk about where these guys had landed. I will talk about from there where they went to, how I can see how they can work out with those teams, and I'm just going to look forward to enjoying this ride. I hope y'all guys enjoyed the ride today. Thank you for listening to Lock and Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. This is your host, Barry Barnes. Like I said, you can always reach out to me at locker-report.com, where you go to that publication. Shoot me an email for next week's show. I'll address your question. Name is Barry Barnes at locker-report.com. That's my email address. You just look me up on Twitter at locker_report and on Facebook at locker-report.com. Everyone stay blessed. Enjoy the draft.
Tune in every Tuesday to Empowering Moments with T.T. Judkins. The show touches on topics of race, culture, politics, and religion, and great guests. Listen every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, exclusive on blogtalkradio.com, and the podcast at thebachelorpadnetwork.com.